Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Jamelli. Meatball. All right. Nicholas's dad, Mark Jamelli, is a true hero. I will do my best, as I failed in the past, of not completely burning him out and not suggesting every week that we put Mark Jamelli on the air. But Mark Jamelli, he will explain a lot of what's going on. For those of you who didn't hear the first minute of this, I will replay it. I will try not to stop it as often as I did the first time we played it, but this is kind of an introduction.
This is Nick's dad in the North End right now, sitting in his recliner.
So a fan of the show actually made T-shirts saying, "I sit on a recliner." What do you think about that?
Well, it's I sleep in a recliner. I live in a recliner. I think it was fantastic. It actually had a Manhattan glass on the front of it, too.
You like the shirt?
I love the shirt. It's perfect.
Are you going to wear it every day?
I'm going to wear it every holiday.
Have you had your Manhattan yet?
I've had my usual dosage, yes.
Okay, good. How many Manhattans have you had?
The world knows I have one at 3 and one at 4, right before the news.
You have a lot of friends in the North End, right?
I do. I made over 1,000 meatballs, I told you, for the feast.
Oh, well, by the way, how was the feast? How did it go?
There wasn't a meatball left.
And again, that's like his Bitcoin.
All the meatballs were gone.
They were gone by 1 o'clock Sunday. So I had enough for Thursday night, Friday, Saturday. By 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon, all the meatballs were gone. To a marching band, to the kids that were marching in the parade, to all the old people that, you know, really can't afford the stands.
And so, first of all, how he distributed to kids in a marching band while they were marching down the road.
He's Johnny Meatball Seed. Just throw them everywhere.
Again,
just,
yeah.
Meatball trees going everywhere.
Or he took the leader's staff and, like, walked around and just started handing to everyone meatballs. Pass it back. Pass it back.
Just a meatball on a stick. That's like, yeah, his little marching band staff.
So he's like, he's more of a, like, a Robin Hood. In that he, when people can't afford the outrageous prices of the stands
of the meatballs,
they come to him.
So he's giving meatballs to the poor.
He just said it. He said the old people, they can't afford it.
Yeah.
Like, they'll go to, like, you know, some pizza stand and be like, $2.
Yikes.
And then Mark Jamelli comes up and goes, for you.
We just handed out a lot of meatballs.
You have a lot of friends here, obviously.
I do.
Who's the guy that's...
No, we don't ask who in this neighborhood.
Right. Can you tell me about the guy that sits in the middle of the street with no shirt on?
Yes, he's getting a tan.
Which one?
Which street corner?
Yes, he's getting a tan. He's got a perfect tan over most of his body.
What's his name?
And I would know. The showers.
What's his name?
I can't give that information up.
That's right. Mr. Jamelli, very connected.
Is it because I'll get whacked?
Well, one never knows, does one?
So, I worked very hard.
Okay.
My God.
I think he's doing like the eyebrows.
Yeah, he is.
One never knows.
Yeah. Al Capone Jamelli.
Godfather Jamelli.
Fredo Jamelli. Nicholas, come in the rowboat.
So So I worked very hard today, and I brought you meatballs from three different locations, okay?
Yeah, I'm looking at them. Yeah.
How exciting.
Finally, we get to the good stuff.
All right.
Here we go.
I can just see him massaging his hands. Yeah. Did you see that?
I'm looking at him.
Waiting for it.
Dan said there should be a new segment called Reclining Playbook.
That's right.
Looking at him.
I'm going to say it again. You know he just took a napkin and just shoved it in his shirt.
Yep.
And he's just like, I'm ready to go.
I imagine his fingers just like moving in the air. I'm looking at him.
You know, he might be a little cynical because they're not his.
Yeah.
But he's very proud. Yeah. But we'll see.
Three different locations, okay?
Yeah, I'm looking at them. Yeah.
How excited are you right now?
Very excited.
You love meatballs, right?
It's my meal of choice.
One of these meatballs is from an authentic Italian restaurant in the North End.
Okay.
And the other two are not.
All right.
So why don't we go with meatball number one? Why don't you go over there and give it a try? So what do you think about that meatball?
Good texture.
Okay.
Nice flavor.
Okay.
Good sauce.
All right, great.
Just smacking.
Smackaroo.
How else like tasting wine. He's got it in his hand. He's smelling it.
He listens to shakes it behind his ear.
Do you see how the sauce is dripping down my hand? It's got a good texture to it.
I like it this way. It's not too spicy.
What did you not like about the meatball?
Well, I don't believe it's from an Italian restaurant because it's very small and very round. And when people are making meatballs, as I do, in the above.
Already, just like comparing.
You know, in high school, you had a Letterman jacket that just said meatball in the back.
Or just, you know, where they put like the sport you played instead of a little football in the middle of your deal? Yeah. It's just a meatball.
But every year he'd letter, so he had three meatballs if you were junior and senior.
He made the varsity as a sophomore.
Okay, so three meatballs on the jacket.
They wouldn't let me play as a freshman.
Meatballs, as I do, in the abundance, you don't have time to make them so perfect. But these are very good tasting.
Oh, great. So between 1 and 5, how many recliners do you give that meatball?
I'd give it a 4.
Ooh. A 4 out of 5.
Ooh. I would.
All right. Okay, let's move on to meatball number 2.
It's very large, about the size of a baseball.
Okay.
You know the number one ingredients in meatballs.
What's that?
Love. You got to put a lot of love in it when you make the meatball.
So what do you really don't want me to try it? Now you really don't. You make a hole in it. You got to put a lot of love in it.
That's such a dad thing to say. That's such a
dad. What are you doing?
So you're turning something really nice and making it very, very randy, and I'm not a big fan of that.
Well, you got to put love in a meatball. That was my Aerosmith song.
Putting love in a meatball.
Putting love in a meatball. Heating it up while I'm going down.
I just like, how many times do you think he said that in his life?
Oh, God. I think in all seriousness, about 90% of his conversations involve making meatballs. You're like, you know, did you hear that about this op-ed piece in the New York Times? Did you hear about... Yeah, I was walking by the newsstand. I just bought a bunch of ground meat.
Okay.
You know the number one ingredients in meatballs.
What's that?
Love. You got to put a lot of love in it when you make the meatball. I'm getting ready.
All right, go for it. Mm-hmm. All right, so what are your dislikes when it comes to that meatball?
You can never dislike a meatball. I know that this is the one from an Italian restaurant.
Oh, I see that you...
I'm dipping the bread.
Yeah, you got bread.
Wait, I'm cleansing my palate.
In his context?
Yes, he's cleansing his palate. Bread?
You can never dislike a meatball. Okay.
No. No, it's like a good buddy. I wonder if he just like goes outside with a big meatball and has his arm around it. We couldn't afford a My Buddy when I was a kid, so Mom just gave me a big meatball. I used to play catch with it.
Good bread. I'd give it 3 recliners.
Oh, he thinks the one from the Italian restaurant is 3 recliners.
Mm-hmm. Not as good as whatever the first one
Interesting.
Was.
Interesting.
Right. 4 recliners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, and why don't we go to meatball number 3. What do you think of the texture and the sauce?
Is this a meatball or a marble, for God's sake?
You don't like it?
No. Doesn't make me happy.
It's the Darth Vader of eating meatball.
Doesn't make me happy.
Doesn't make me happy. It's sad.
That's bad.
I'm not going to put love in this meatball.
No. I got one tear running down my face.
I would give that two recliners. Yeah.
You're very disappointed by that meatball.
Yes, I am.
You think that's a crappy meatball?
I think that meatball sucks.
You love meatballs, right?
I love meatballs.
You love meatballs, right?
I love meatballs. You gotta put a lot of love in it when you make. I love meatballs. I love meatballs. All the meatballs were gone.
Right, do we know what the 3 meatballs?
Yeah, where's the big reveal?
The big reveal is that because Nick didn't want like any companies to get angry.
But
I will say that the first one, because it was the one he liked the most, was indeed from a fast food restaurant. Shout out to Subway for kicking Mark Jamelli's ass. By the way, Subway meatball sandwiches rule.
They're good.
They rule.
Yeah, they're good.
So Mark Jamelli approved with the Subway meatball, even better than the real Northwest.
Well, with all the problems with Jared, maybe Mark Jamelli is the new face of Subway.
Well, I mean, we know that.
You got to put a lot of love in it when you make the meatball. I love meatballs. Yeah, I'm looking at them. Yeah. I love meatballs.
I sit on a recliner. What do you think about that?
Well, I sleep in a recliner. I love meatballs. All the meatballs were gone. I love meatballs. You gotta put a lot of love in it when you make the meatball.
Oh, boy.
Is this a meatball or a marble, for God's sake?
Okay, was the one he didn't like from, like, a fast food place?
Or? Yeah. It was from, it's from a pizza place.
Okay, pizza.
Oh. Yeah,
like a national?
National, yeah, okay. Pizza place. He did not like that, but he loved Subway's meatballs.
Yeah.
Love them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so...
I love meatballs. Yeah.
He's not one of these snobs.
No, he has no problem with that.
Yeah. Is this a meatball or...
Sorry. Is this a meatball or a marble?
Is this a meatball or a hemorrhoid?
No, we don't ask who in this neighborhood.
Connected Jamelli.
That's right. Don Jamelli?
Don Jamelli.
So is Mark Jamelli available for speaking engagements?
Yeah, but it's like, can you give an inspiring speech? One time, I was given only enough meat to make 5 meatballs, but they wanted 20. So I used breadcrumbs. Now go get them. Oh, Mark Jamelli, you are the best.
Yeah, I'm looking at him. Yeah.
All right, well, that will be something we have to do in the future as well. Is just, I mean, he's...
Reclining playbook?
Yeah, he is just so into meatballs. We'll have to find out what else he likes.
What if he had to like, review something that was so non-meatball, like Mexican food?
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Or what about, like, vegan meals?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that to anybody. He's just what? He's just going to hate it.
I don't want to hear an angry Jamelli.
No, you want something that pleases him.
Sure,
you
got to put a lot of love in it when you make the meatball.
All right. We will be back in just a moment.
I love meatballs.
Thatcher and Rich.
Five of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. We have Adam Jones in the studio this morning, and Greg Bedard is a columnist, Patriot analyst. You know him. Editor and owner of BostonSportsJournal.com, which I recommend subscribing to. There are excellent articles in there, especially around football season. He's also in studio every Tuesday afternoon with Felger and Maz, so you can hear him later on today, but we get him first. Greg Bedard, thanks for coming on with us, man.
What's up, fellas?
Hey. First of all, what did you think of that awesome display of Matt Patricia's the coaching power last night during Monday Night Football?
Oh, man. Now, after the Super Bowl and this, I'm like, when is Matt Patricia's defense going to hold somebody under, like, 40 points or, you know, in the same stratosphere as, like, regular football games? I mean, it's just, I mean, the Jets rookie quarterback at home in a Monday Night opener. Yikes. Not a good start for Matty P.
And Greg, I know this is just one game. It's game one. But, I mean, it gets you kind of looking at the Bill Belichick coaching tree. And why is it that all of these guys can work with the greatest coach of all time, yet none of them seem to find success?
I think, you know, for a lot of them, especially the guys who have not been – you know, elsewhere and really are just really Bill-centric. You know, I don't count Bill O'Brien in the same category because he had been with a bunch of different people. But a lot of those guys, they just, the only thing they know is how Bill Belichick does things. And I think they don't stop and think, like, maybe that guy's just unique and there's only one of them. And I think that's the case.
Okay, because we saw, like, a lot of guys mimicking him. When Josh McDaniels went to Denver, you know, there was a little bit of that.
Hey, give Matt Patricia credit. He actually dressed like himself. Didn't put the hoodie on, you know?
You're right. But, you know, Mangini, you saw that. And, I mean, you're right. At least Patricia's kind of got his own thing. But it's astounding. I just can't understand. And it's starting to be more and more, you know, guys like that. And Bill O'Brien, after what we saw on Sunday, I mean, I'm starting to think, and I like Bill O'Brien, and I thought that he should have been the heir apparent back in the day to Bill Belichick, but has he been overrated all of these years?
Who, Bill?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously I know Bill well, and I'm kind of biased. That being said, you know, there are certain things that I can't defend them over. You know, I thought, and sometimes I've told him that, like, about, like, you know, when he named Brian Hoyer the starter for the Texans when they were on Hard Knocks, you know, he told Hoyer on television, he's like, look, I'm not going to have a quick hook or anything. Like, you've earned the job. Like, he lost the job before the first game was over, right. And he gave it to Ryan Mallett. And I told Bill, I've watched all the film. I said, I don't understand how you all of a sudden benched Hoyer right here. Like, can you explain it to me? And he was like, you know, when I need a quarterback coach, you know, you're going to be the first one I need to look at. And then, you know, he ended up putting Hoyer in, and actually that saved the season. And I asked him when I was getting that job interview, but it never happened. But I just, there are certain things that Bill does that I can't defend. And certainly the review thing the other day, the big thing with it, and I didn't watch the game, you know, with the Lions very closely last night because I was doing work. But I think a lot of these guys run into problems when they call their own plays. Like, I thought Bill was a better head coach in my mind. Bill O'Brien was a better head coach in my mind when he George Godsey was there as the offensive coordinator. They just didn't have very good talent. And now he's calling the plays. And I would watch Bill in my binoculars after their defense had like a horrible series against the Patriots. And I look down to see if he's getting involved or he's yelling at anybody, and he's buried in his play sheet. I think those guys, they try to do too much and they miss too much of the big picture during the game. And I think that's really what has happened to O'Brien. And he's got to get somebody else to call the plays because he's missing too much that goes on during the game.
So we look at the Belichick coaching tree. O'Brien's been the best at the NFL level. I think it's three winning seasons, but still a losing record overall. His front office hires ex guys from the front office here have actually gone on to do pretty well. Do you have a theory?
With the exception of Scott Pioli.
Yeah, that's
true. Which was a big miss. Other than that.
Do you have a theory as to why there's been more success in the front office than with the coaches?
I think it's there's a larger, margin for error when you're in the front office. I mean, when you're head coach, it's there every Sunday and every single decision for the team is riding on what you do. If you're the personnel executive, as long as you get, 30 decent football players, then it's up to the coach to cook with that, so I just think the margin of error is different, but there's no question that I think the head coaches, they just don't understand everything that Bill does because he makes it look so easy, after how many years he's been doing it.
All right, finally, Greg, I know you got a bolt here, but I want to finally ask you about, you had a very good article that you put up, I don't know if it was on Saturday or Sunday, at bostonsportsjournal.com, and you were talking about with Malcolm Butler, Deion Lewis, Danny Amendola, Nate Solder, Brandon Cooks, with all those guys gone, you broke down this roster as opposed to last year's Patriots roster and came to the conclusion that this team is better than last year's. How did you come up with that?
Yeah, I just got to thinking. I was like, how can we compare the two teams? Because everybody, including me, when you look at the losses that they've had in free agency and trading Brandon Cooks and what they brought in and the failures of the guys, especially a wide receiver in free agency and things like that, you just automatically think, okay, well, last year's team is better than this year's team. But I took the roster from the end of the game last year in the Super Bowl, a team that was basically a 50-minute team because they led the Super Bowl with 10 minutes and then ended up losing. Is this year's version, and I went position by position and I said, okay, is this guy better than the guy from last year? And and I try to be very conservative about it. Like even Brady, I said Brady from last year because he was MVP and him being a year older, I don't think you can automatically say that he's going to be the same player he was last year. I think it's more likely that he takes, I put him down as a slight minus.
Sure.
Just because of his age and how well he did last season. So I went position by position with that, and I don't have any illusions. This is the way I do things. I put out the data, and then at the end of the day, I add it all up. And at the end of the day, this year's team was slightly better than last year's team. And I think that if people really take a step back and look at it, position by position, players improving over last year, like, say, Joe Tooney, those younger kids, I think they're in the prime of their career where they get better incrementally. And I think that if you look position by position, the Patriots should be better. Now, we'll see with health and all that stuff, but I do think that if you really look at it and you're honest about it, that this year's team is better than last year's team.
Well, it is fascinating. And matter of fact, we're going to take a look at it a bit later on the show because that's the kind of high-quality content you get at bostonsportsjournal.com from Mr. Greg Bedard.
That's right, baby.
Greg, may you have a better day than Matt Patricia is going to have today. But unfortunately, that might not be the case because you do have to come in and sit in with Felger and Maz, I believe, this afternoon. So...
Nope. I need to beat my head up against the wall once a week. That's what the doctor prescribed.
We all need to do that. All right. Greg Bedard, appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right. See you, boys.
All right. Thanks. All right. So do you want to go down the alley we wanted to go down, or do we want to let you guys go nuts in the Red Sox for a minute? Because
Wait, what's the alley?
The alley was, we're talking about the coaching tree of Bill Belichick, but or whatever. All I know is that you guys have been like dogs in a cage, ready to get out, because for the last 2 days you have not been able to talk about the Red Sox, especially John Wallach. I thought his head was going to explode because we had Patriots all day, and my man is fired up. He is a worried bird.
Yeah. I think there's a crap load to be worried about.
Really?
Yes.
So are you going to get all fire and brimstone?
Let's go.
Are you going to, as they say, bring the thunder?
I don't know. I don't know if I can bring the thunder.
Hot take Wallach? Are you ready for this?
I'm pissed off. I can't believe that no one else sees this.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have a fired up hot take flamethrower of a of an update guy, John Wallach, coming up right after his headlines. Get ready, people.
Yeah.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. And two quick show notes. First of all, Gronk on the show at 9:30. Chris Gronkowski will be on the show at 9:30.
Who we there for
nice. We actually love having on. It's, you know,
yeah.
But he'll be on with us at 9:30. And also, something my mother is very excited about is that Chef Paul from Wahlburgers is going to be on later on in the week. I think it's Thursday. Is that right? Thursday? And
we're back on TV. That means a show.
Yeah. And by the way, they're filming us for the Wahlburgers show.
Okay.
That day. So
we got to dress up for this.
Oh yes, we are going.
We got to wear Wahlburgers shirts or something.
Dressed our nines. And there is a online contest by the way right now for 5 winners to come in and meet him. He's going to be here doing all that stuff with the food from the food truck. Just go to 98.5thesportshub.com. It is going to be there are all sorts of food making shenanigans. Okay, so before the break and during the commercials, I know that yesterday, because it was a big Patriots football day, and I told you the ratings, and everyone basically in New England was watching that game, and so you want to concentrate mostly on what's going on with Tom Brady and all the rest of those guys. However, there was a very big series over the weekend with the Red Sox against the Houston Astros team, which more than likely they're going to see once again in the postseason. And John Wallach, very angry with what he saw. As a matter of fact, somebody said, you should just call this segment Angry Birds. and to that, I'll one-up you.
Angry Nerds.
So good.
So, I do have the glasses. That's true.
That's right. So John Wallach, he's a very worried bird.
I can't do this with that with the music on. I can't.
Why?
I can't do it. I can't reach top anger with this cool music in the background.
All right. Well, then you want to have like a little George Thorogood or something?
No.
Let's just need a little bad boy music.
Let's just try and talk rationally about this.
Maybe get a little Nuge. Great Gonzo.
Play Stranglehold. That'll be good.
Sure. Why not? You guys are going to put the sports talk world in a stranglehold.
That's right. No. Honest to God.
No. In all seriousness. Okay. This concerns you, and so
it should. It should concern everybody.
They almost got swept, and we both agree, and I think everyone agrees that they were gifted that last game because of the call.
Altuve was safe at home.
He was safe at home.
Yes,
we saw that, and that's not anything controversial. That everyone who saw that play on replay, I don't know why the hell they sat there and looked at
the umpires,
except for the umpires, knows that that is but that happens in baseball. You get gifts sometimes. It happens, but. That did not build your confidence.
It shouldn't. It shouldn't build anybody's confidence. I mean, start with Friday night. Eduardo Rodriguez did not pitch well. And the first thing I thought of after Eduardo Rodriguez did not pitch well is that this is a guy who's going to start an elimination game for you. He's going to start a game 4 of a 7-game series in the ALCS against Houston. That's one of the bigger – not an elimination game, but that's one of the bigger games in a series. If you're down 2-1 – and you pitch Eduardo Rodriguez against this team, I have no confidence that he can go out and beat them. Rick Porcello didn't pitch well against them either. The bullpen was horrible against them. And you look at the Red Sox starting rotation, you're throwing out 3 lefties. Houston mashes left-handed pitching. They're not only the best team in the American League, the best team in Major League Baseball against left-handed pitching. Batting average, on-base percentage, OPS. They kill lefties. And, oh, by the way, your best pitcher, Chris Sale, is on a pitch count of 40 tonight, 50 the next night. They babied him the entire year, and here we are in the middle of September just trying to get him to 100 pitches before we get to the playoffs. And if there are any setbacks for Chris Sale in the next 2 or 3 weeks, that's the end of the Patriots, the Red Sox. See, I can't do this. If you're gonna play this music, I can't.
You guys can hear that.
Lather myself up.
Can hear that. I thought that was just the music I hear in my head when
I'm sorry. I can't appropriately get angry.
Okay.
This.
Well,
it's such a happy music. I love the game so much. You can't do this.
But you do make a good point, and that is that the guy Chris Sale, who is going to be somebody you're going to have to rely on here in the postseason.
He's got to go eight innings against the Yankees in the divisional round of the playoffs. Is he ready to go eight innings? Because he sure as hell can't go six and turn the game over to the bullpen.
You think he could do 80 or eight innings and 40 pitches? Squeeze that out?
That's just for starters. Look at the bullpen. Matt Barnes, who's a horrible eighth inning guy, and that's a square peg in a round hole. He can't pitch the eighth inning in the playoffs. He's best served in the seventh inning. Yeah. He's hurt.
I was just going to say.
you can't even get the mediocre guy out there to pitch the eighth inning.
Your best crappy option is hurt.
Joe Kelly was fantastic over the weekend, wasn't he? In the eighth inning, coming in to relieve? I mean, who are they going to throw out there?
And on top of that, I mean, the one guy who has been absolute nails, nobody has any faith in until he can do it in the playoffs.
Exactly.
That's David Price.
David Price. Can you guarantee me David Price can go eight innings against anybody?
No.
That's the thing.
Yeah, because all we've seen
throw
in the
out the playoff record. Sure. He's been nails the last 2 months. David Price has been fantastic the last 2 months.
Except but, seventh inning.
But year, nobody knows if he can do it in the playoffs. This team, it's the best regular season they've had since World War II. Fantastic. And guys like Dan Roach tell me, can't you just enjoy the regular season? Well, I could enjoy the regular season if I lived in San Diego or Kansas City. Yeah. Unfortunately, for everyone else who loves that argument, this team wins championships. They spend more than anybody else to win championships. If they win 106 games and get bounced and by the Yankees in the division series, it's a lost season. It's a crap season.
Well, wasn't that bullpen fun the other night? You didn't think that was fun?
I mean, it's not fun at all.
Can't you just enjoy the bullpen, Wally? Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Joe Kelly melting down and Heath Embry melting down.
Oh, I especially enjoyed that Sunday night interview with Joe Kelly out in the bullpen by Buster Olney, where he's talking about flicking seeds.
Well,
that's a lot of fun to watch.
That was fun.
It was a lot of fun for about two or three months when they were beating the tar out of bad teams. But you run into the Houston Astros in the playoffs, considering how well they do against left-handed pitching, and just the fact that they don't fear anybody. They beat Chris Sale in the playoffs last year. They don't fear anybody. I don't know how you go out and beat that team in a seven-game series.
Okay, just trying to play devil's advocate. Do you think that the bats are strong enough that they can overcompensate for what seems to be an issue with the pitching right now?
They had the best offense in 2016 in baseball. They had two MVP candidates, Betts and Ortiz, and they got swept.
Yeah. They scored runs at will against Houston over the weekend. Didn't you see that? I mean, honestly, they were up 5-1 with Porcello pitching well in the sixth inning, and all of a sudden it was 5-5, and Houston should have scored the go-ahead run. It was taken from them on replay. I mean, that should have been a sweep. So they're going to coast to a win in the division series, but Chris Sale is not ready, and there are no guarantees he's going to be ready. He's had a month off, and he's on a pitch count to 40.
You know, that's a better question that you mentioned. They're going to make it to 100 wins this week, more than likely.
Yeah, probably by Wednesday.
Probably by Wednesday.
They play Toronto and the Mets. Yes. They should win five of their next six.
They're going to make it to 100 wins. Are you not going to be able to enjoy that?
No, I'm not going to be able to enjoy that. I can't. I'm going to try it again.
Oh, you know what?
What if this music was playing? You'd enjoy it.
I would. If this music was playing during Red Sox games, I'd enjoy myself.
Dan just nailed it in my headphones. Dan, what did you just say? Producer Dan O'Brien in the other room mentioned something about when they
already ordered my 100-win hat that they're going to be celebrating on the field. They're going to douse each other with champagne when they win 100 games because you know it's going to be at home. So if they do that this week, all of a sudden, out rolls out the 100-win memorabilia.
Purchase your 100-win baseball, absolutely.
You know what this is? This is a throwback to Dan Duquette, whose mantra was more days in first place. Well, I've got to fall back on. 100-win season, best season. Maybe they set a franchise record. Maybe they get to 106. Maybe they win eight more games the rest of the season. And they say, best regular season in Red Sox history, and then fans can burn those things when they get bounced by the Yankees in four games.
Do you think that they are going to have Nesson with cameras set up at places like sports bars saying that for the big 100th win? With people going, they're going to expect like rioting in the streets. But I will say this much. I would bet money right now that after that broadcast is done, they've got a commercial ready to go to buy 100-win merchandise.
Sure you do. Ooh.
And I bet
you don't think they wait for the franchise record.
No,
they're
no.
close.
No. 100-win.
Why miss a chance? Why not do both?
And I guarantee you're going to be able to go to redsox.com,
right after that game, and there's going to be 100 win commemorative T-shirts, 100 win baseballs. I guarantee, John, you are really pissed. I mean, you're not playing it up.
This team should be better than this, considering their
record. Are you just pissed you're going to have to spend a lot of money on those shirts? No.
I wasn't that stupid. I got to be honest with you. I watched this team, and I can't believe it's come to this.
All right, let's go to Joe. Joe wants to call you out, Wallach. Joe, go ahead.
Well, you're not this disgruntled in real life, by the way. You're just doing it for the show, and it's actually pathetic.
It is.
So, just like you, pathetic.
Yeah.
You're really not this disgruntled. You just kind of.
I'm upset about the Red Sox. Don't kid yourself. I am a happy person normally.
It's almost horrible, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, playoffs, that's a separate issue, isn't it?
Well, he's under 60, so he shares the opinion of a lot of people.
Yeah, baseball skews in my direction.
It does. I mean, listen,
the guys who are approaching retirement.
Don't let your little worried bird self take away the enjoyment of getting the brand new 100 win. Matter of fact, John, if they are indeed offering a 100 win T-shirt, I'm going to buy one for you.
Thank you.
All right,
that's really nice.
And I'm going to come in the morning after, and although I don't know if I'll be able to get it that quick. It'd be great if they got it after they were swept in the first round. Hey, I'm gonna win.
All right.
But you know what? I'm getting you some memorabilia because I want you to feel a little up.
Nice.
I don't want to rob you of this pleasure. Okay?
Okay.
You and Dan Roach. Matter of fact, the morning after the 100 wins, I want to have Dan Roach on, and I want you guys just to talk in code.
Can't you just enjoy the regular season? That's what pisses me off more than anything else.
No,
just enjoy
that's
the regular
legitimate.
Season.
That is
They've
legitimate.
Been great all year. You know what? Because this team wins titles, I can't enjoy this.
Line two. Let's go to line two.
All right.
Brian, you're on Toucher and Rich. What's up, man?
Hey, good morning. Hey, Wallach. I tell you, man, you don't have to wait for this team to be great. This team is a little fighter, and you know what? You're going to be the one crying when the children cry.
That was three White Lion song references in one call. That was fantastic.
Damn, good.
He got Little Fighter, White Lion, and he got
Wait.
When the Children Cry.
That's really good.
Very good.
I gotta give it up. That's impressive.
Is he the guy who does the rat references every once in a while, too? I like hair metal references. Subtle
That's
hair metal reference guy.
I actually got the White Lion. That was pretty good.
That was not bad.
That was really good.
All right. 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls. There's a lot of people lined up who want to yell at you, John. We'll take those calls, obviously, right after this.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 985 Sports Hub.
All right, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We got Adam Jones in the studio. But John Wallach is disappointing me a little bit this morning because he is second to Dan Roach, the biggest Red Sox fan that I know.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say second to Dan Roach. John, you watch pretty much almost every minute of most games, correct?
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah,
okay. I mean, unlike a lot of us where...
Like the Aaron Rodgers game the other night. We're both watching that, I, Rich.
Yes, and he's watching the Red Sox.
Sunday Night Baseball.
Massive comeback is coming back.
And Wallach is watching paint dry over on ESPN. Yeah.
They won that game.
In fairness, it was an important game.
It was an important game.
They won
the game.
However...
Jones.
For all of the sheer volume of
there
games...
There we go. There it is.
That is the
first one of the day. Yep.
But the one thing that I am finding a little strange is that you are so worried about this team.
Yes.
That you will not even let yourself enjoy 100 wins when it comes. Let's go to Jeff on line two. You're an angry gentleman. Let's go to Jeff on line two. Jeff, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, man. I just want to agree with Wallach and Jones. I watched this season, and all I can think of is the movie The Untouchables, where they had that raid in Canada. They get Capone's ledger. They confront him in the hotel. Like, we got you now, Capone, and he just laughs at him. He says, the ledger? Without the bookkeeper, you got nothing. That's all I think about with this season. Oh, your offense, Red Sox? Without a bullpen, you got nothing. That's how the season's going to end, right there.
So you're not even going to be able to enjoy the 100 wins?
No, because I know that what's the point? The whole point is for them, we know their offense can win games.
Wait.
The whole point for them is to do something in the playoffs, and Dombrowski has made sure that with this god-awful bullpen, they're not going to be able to.
He had 2 months to fix this and didn't, and he knew it was a problem. And the other part of all of this is that I watch this team go through what they're going through, and Dave Dombrowski watches it all happen in front of him.
Usually in a nice sport coat.
Usually in a nice sport coat, you know, the hair just so. I guarantee you Red Sox management, even though they'll sell the hell out of this, isn't going to go behind closed doors and go, well, at least we won 105 games.
All right. Arthur, you are on with Toucher and Rich. Go ahead, Arthur.
Yeah, hi, John Wallach. I agree with you 1,000%. The Astros just came into your park, outclassed you, would have swept if it went for a bad, it got replay call. And every time you threatened to take the lead or did take the lead, the Astros came right back the next half inning. They have swagger. You can't compete with that. 100 wins is beautiful. Enjoy it while the season's going on. But if it leads to nothing at the end, it's just an empty 100 wins. It really doesn't mean a heck of a lot.
Sure, and I would worry about that when that happens. Like, that would be fine. But at this point, if you're a Red Sox fan and they get to 100 wins, I mean, that's something kind of cool. And that's why they know that there's suckers out there that will buy the commemorative Red Sox 100-win baseballs and T-shirts and things like that.
I was just going to say, like, how can we... Are you going to enjoy the 100 wins?
No, but I don't care.
Like, I mean,
now if the Celtics like had a regular season record or something like that,
we've already picked them to win what, 75,
81.
76.
Okay,
yeah, 81. Kyrie takes a night off somewhere.
Sure,
81.
Right, yeah. You know, now that LeBron's gone, sure. You know, right? Somebody steps and falls on their elbow for half a game. But if that happened, I would enjoy it. Now, granted, I wouldn't cover myself in peanut butter and run around nude like, you know, someone like Dan Roach might.
Right.
But I would think that was pretty cool.
Didn't sneak up on anyone. This 100-win thing's been basically a foregone conclusion for the last 2 months.
Put it this way. It was like when Paul Pierce got his, what point was it? This 20,000th point?
Yes. Or
okay. I was at that game. That was a great moment. That team wasn't going to do jack that year. But that was a cool moment, and I let myself enjoy it.
Great. That. 100 wins. They're supposed to do something. Okay. They're supposed to do something.
I understand, but there's time. There's a little bit. Just enjoy it for a moment.
So I'm looking ahead. I'm not worried about now. Now's already been solved. I'm worried about the future here.
All right. Well, I'm worried about you, John. I'm worried about you. I might need to get you like a Vermont teddy bear or something. Get you down to the dumps.
Get him a meatball.
That's what you do. I mean, maybe you just need him down there and... All the meatballs. You need to get, you know, listen, everyone knows that...
get a few pecks in and a meatball.
Well, we all know that...
I love meatballs.
Well, you love meatballs.
You gotta put a lot of love in it when you make the meatballs.
Yes, you do. All right. Well, there is somebody that we met on this show a couple years ago who was somebody who was running for president a while back. He was one of the strangest people I've ever met. And he is in massive trouble with the law.